Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Remember my mom wanted dad to give up the Giants tickets? But he's like, no. That's, please.
Wow.
Yeah, because
mom, we got a budget. Jan, you got a budget.
No, but they're not leaving the Giants. They had those tickets in our family. It's like Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we hate the Yankees, but they used to play in Yankee Stadium.
That's
that was
right.
The thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, NFL Blitz. Last night, I think everybody was basically saying the same thing. It was almost like watching like an Addy machine going in reverse, watching Sam Darnold go, double clutch.
Yeah.
Look, we get it. The Rams threw the kitchen sink at him. You touched on it earlier. They took,
the
Aaron,
Lions.
Took Aaron Glenn's. Basically defensive.
But he still missed a bunch of wide-open guys, especially in the Lions game.
Right. And, oh, by the way, how did Sam Darnold handle what Brian Flores does, which is the same thing? The ball comes out. He throws it sideways. He gets it out to Nacua.
Right.
He gets it out to his backup tight end. Once Higbee got knocked out, the ball was out. Or he takes a sack. It's simple. He does what Brady does. Matthew Stafford goes down on one knee, loses minimal yardage, or he gets the ball out. Everything you can do to minimize the hit, where Sam Darnold looked like he never played the position.
I've never seen a call like that in my life with a Stafford thing, just because he tried to just kind of a little underhand toss.
It's almost like a new tuck. It's almost like a tuck 2.0.
I've never seen that. Would they ever call that back in the day? I guess to the letter of the law, it's legit because it looked like he clearly was doing that.
His head is down. Nacua is within 5 yards. A lot of people said, no way, that's grounding. Okay, maybe you split the baby, you call it grounding. Subsequently, there was a couple of makeup calls from the refs later. But,
well, it doesn't matter, though. Those are moments. There are two moments, and this is, if you're a Vikings fan, two moments last night you knew you were not going to win the game. That, when that got called back, that scoop and score, and when they missed that block punt.
Right.
Vikings could have blocked. I don't know how that guy did not block.
Was
the
he
punt,
pounding the earth there?
Yeah,
pounding the turf
pounding
at
the
Phoenix.
Like, what about the NFC North? Wow.
Hey, by
the way,
they
fall from grace?
And how about the crowd? I mean, great job, by the way. The Bidwells get heat for not being great owners, but they were gracious hosts, and probably about like 30,000 Vikings fans got tickets to that game. Yeah. Got into Phoenix, flew in. They had 5 days.
Well, don't they all live there since they retired?
A lot of Midwesterners go to Arizona. They go to Naples. But you're right. But the game atmosphere. I tell you what, I was expecting like a half empty stadium. It was a raucous crowd. Rams had to go to a silent count.
Yeah.
Halfway through the first quarter. Let's go to cut 12 for those of you that are scoring at home. Here's Coach Kevin O'Connell on Sam Darnold's, well, the good part, the amazing season.
I just want to say, you know, I think it's very important we all think about, you know, Sam's body of work, what he was able to do this year, when not very many people thought he would be able to lead a team to 14 wins. Very rare for a quarterback in their first year. In fact, it is rare, the most wins by a first-year quarterback with a team, and just the way he came in, committed himself to just a daily process to be the best version of himself. It did not work out in the end, and I think Sam would be the first one to tell you.
Hey, Coach, why were you running the ball and huddling up in the fourth quarter down by 18 points? Why no sense of urgency was that? That's baffling to me.
Unbelievable. And I just felt – you touched on it. Troy Aikman talked about it. Matter of fact, let's move up to cut 15 on our cut sheet. Sorry, just talking nonsense. I didn't have a chance to prep Oren, so I'm breaking radio rules, but minor foul. 5-yard penalty. But here is Troy Aikman on ESPN talking about the offseason, the playoff games, and what happened.
Yeah, these last 2 weeks will have a big impact on his future, not only what that may look like for the Minnesota Vikings, but a big impact on what that may look like for him going to another team. Is there going to be the big payout that looked inevitable a few weeks ago? May not be quite as big as what Sam or others thought. These are the games that matter. He knows that. Every quarterback that plays in this league knows that. And when you get into these games, that's what you're judged on.
Period. As Carl likes to say.
Somebody give him, like, Baker money? Baker Mayfield money, maybe?
Just thinking about that. You know, the cap hit, we looked at the franchise tag isn't as bad as we thought it would be, but still, it's, I don't think Minnesota goes down that road. Either you go to J.J. McCarthy and see what he's about, because as Troy said, he'll have to learn the processing at an NFL level. Sam Darnold was doing well, but this goes back. I love everybody who said it. There's a bunch of guys. I think Barstool was the first guys to say it. Everyone else kind of parroted it. But it was basically Sam Darnold in a season gave you Jared Goff's years with the Rams. You got an entire of like Jared Goff's career with the Rams, right, from rookie not knowing how to break a huddle to, you know, the unimpressive Super Bowl game, to where, let's be honest, Sean McVay, they're not afraid. Les Snead, he can't handle pressure. Yep. We'll trade him for Matthew Stafford. They did, ultimately. That's why Ben Johnson's brand is so hot. He's getting more out of him now. They've got great pieces around him, and Goff has reinvented himself. But Sam Darnold just looked like a guy, when you throw heat at him, going back to your point, to the Lions, he just folds like a cheap suit.
How many times over the years have you seen like teams that were like 12-4 heading into the playoffs, 14-3 this year? They had some red flag that nobody was really paying attention to. Vikings was at the red zone, or obviously, right, now Darnold being vulnerable to the blitz, but they were terrible in the red zone.
Right.
Should that be a red flag going into the postseason? I would think so.
And I do think, you know, everyone was talking about O'Connell as he's such a genius and such a proud father when they were carrying Darnold in the locker room and dousing him with beer. Well, man. Jake, 2 weeks later, and he's just a dude. So now you got a real hard decision. But here's the thing. If his future doesn't lie in Minneapolis, what do other teams looking for a quarterback feel after what he's just put on tape?
Well, that fan base can't blame Kirk Cousins for their playoff woes anymore, I guess, can they?
Good pull on that one. I saw Kirk Cousins, and you know, would the Browns be willing? The Steelers. Steelers also, there were stories out there that they'd be interested in Aaron Rodgers for 1 year.
I saw the memes online, Aaron Rodgers, and you know how they can put an NFL uniform on him, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, oh boy. I mean, Mike Tomlin should have a degree in psychology for the head cases he's had to deal with over the years in in Pittsburgh. And that would be basically the piece de resistance if Aaron Rodgers got to roll into the Steel City. I just thought last night, Darnold, there was a ton of pressure, but all the things we just said that Stafford's able to do and other quarterbacks are doing, that Jaden Daniels is doing, he wasn't able to handle and process it. So he's going to wear that one around.
Stafford, as many hits as he's taken, as long as he's been in the league, he still moves around pretty well. I mean, he's not a dual threat, but he moves around really well. Arm is still there.
It's the old Dan Marino argument. You don't have to be a fast runner, but you just have the one or two steps to move in his prime.
No, but he moves a lot better than Dan Marino does.
Always able to move around better than that. The other thing last night, you talked about the lateral. That's got a lot of people buzzing. The other thing last night, don't forget, guys, and I tweeted about this last week, when you get in the playoffs, it's why don't you take the top five or six rated crews or seven rated crews from the NFL, keep them together, even if the back judge isn't as good as maybe another back judge. I'm talking about these all-star referee teams.
If you noticed,
so much confab last night, so many flags that maybe another crew, one guy picks up, or the ref doesn't have the relationship with him to say, let's pick that one up, let's move it along.
Yeah, but what if you have this crew and you have a line judge just completely unreliable and ridiculous?
Well, then, first off, the NFL should have higher standards. But yes, my point, though,
you're saying keep the crews that work together every week. I like that idea.
From everything.
They need chemistry, too.
Everything from flow of the game management. Now, the thing last night, and this was one thing, I thought I was the only guy that noticed this, and then Joe Buck was talking about it. It was, did you notice last night, they have a face mask call on the Rams running back. No flag.
No flag.
Matthew Stafford starts pointing to it, and then I've never seen a procedural call without a flag. So needless to say, somebody up in New York, and by the way, that's fine. If moving forward in the NFL, if there's something which we all see, like let's not waste 20 minutes on a replay, commercial break, TV timeout. If someone can quickly get in a headset and say, hey, you missed it.
I thought you would love that because you want the robots behind the plate in Major League Baseball.
But it's not in the rules, Rob.
It's not in the rules.
That's not a rule yet where New York can just quickly tell you, oh, by the way, you missed it, drop the flag now and save 15 yards. They didn't call
just
cause it.
Just because it's not in the rules doesn't mean it's against the rules.
But O'Connell was losing his mind, but there was no flag on it. There's nothing in – we can ask Rich McKay in the competition committee, is this going to be a new wrinkle?
O'Connell has other things to worry about other than that.
Yeah, you got that right, pal. Hey, man, it's our NFL Blitz. It's brought to you guys by our buddies at Priority Men's Medical Center. One other nugget for you, the 49ers, I know we talked about regaining the defensive identity. What do you think about that 49er team? They had so many injuries on both sides of the football. Is that a team you just figure bounces back, or is Shanahan going to be on the hot seat?
I think the window's closed, and I think he's going to go somewhere else.
Oof. I can't quit you, even though you did screw up those last 5 minutes in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my bad.
We'll come back. Greg Allman, he is the Midnight NFL writer. Next, as we're live at State Farm with Rob Dribble and for Carl. It is Dukes and Bell on a Tuesday live at State Farm Arena. Rob Tribble is in for Carlton. He'll be back tomorrow, guys. I'll tell you about a special broadcast coming up over in Paulding County. Details to follow for you Pauldingers out there, so stay tuned. Chris is here along with Jersey Mike, Oren back at the ranch, and one of our faves who always puts up with my bad Allman Brothers puns. It's kind of like Chris Berman, you know, the Midnight Rider. You know, but Greg Allman joins us on the wait4it.com.
Lost my virginity to a girl from Pauling
County. That's more information than Greg probably needed, but he joins us right now. Hey, Greg, what's going on, brother? How you been, man?
Good, man. I always thought that, like, when he passed away, the references might die down, and not at all, man. They've kept going strong.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I really want to go Berman, it's Greg Allman. He was born in the back of a Greyhound bus rolling down Highway 41 for Fox Sports. But first things first, you got any vibe about who the, or where or what the Falcons should be doing for a defensive coordinator as the search begins?
Good names is what you're hearing. I mean, Martindale today would be an outstanding get for them. You know, a year removed in the league. But, I mean, you think about what he did in Baltimore. Super respected there. Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati, another big name. Obviously not a great year this past year. But in terms of a body of work, you go back a year or two, people are talking about him being the head coaching candidate. So both of those seem like strong hires. I don't know what the priority is there. It's a little bit tricky. And then I don't know how, you know, right now probably the best defensive coordinator jobs would probably be linked with offensive head coaches. So you're kind of battling against jobs that aren't even filled yet, if you will. But, no, I mean, I think that it's a job that should be right up there. They should be getting the kind of guys that they're talking to right now is what I would say.
How much more fun would our jobs be if Deion Sanders ended up as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Just for it's like you always think about, like, what you want for the Cowboys. I don't know if it's best. For us, for what we do, absolutely. Just sheer chaos. I mean,
that's what I mean.
Radio gold. Maybe if they, like, had Taylor Swift as a head coach, there'd be more people reading about it. The Cowboys are a team. I mean, anything Cowboys does well, obviously, online. But the idea of having Deion back there, whether it's good or not, because people will watch the Cowboys to watch the Cowboys lose, obviously, in recent years, and that would be tenfold with Cowboys coach Deion Sanders. You know, the traffic you get in Philadelphia, in Washington, in New York, that entire NFC East will just hate watch it.
You know, it's funny. It almost feels like, you know, as Greg Allman joins us, guys, from Fox Sports, you think that Jerry would be, ain't wasting time no more. Sorry, Rob, I'll stop with the Allman Brothers. You'd think that he would get on with it. And it's basically, it's just almost like Jerry just loves being in the news cycle, and he'll have this flirtation. Nothing will come of it, and he'll do something very predictable, like bring back Kellen Moore. You know, and they'll go.
Yeah, and that's one of those, again, Kellen Moore, very much a viable candidate. You'd say yes, but from an exciting media interest, make our jobs easier standpoint, a tenth of the hire that Deion would be. Like, I'm fine for it. I think it's not a bad move for them, but in terms of the SEO nonsense factor, not even close.
So what do you think Sam Darnold's future is now? He cost himself millions of dollars last night, certainly. What do you think? Where do you think Minnesota goes from here?
Yeah, it's so intriguing to see what they do because, you know, he's at that point where, like, two, three weeks ago, I would have told you that if he led them to the conference championship game, if he had any kind of substantial playoff presence, I felt like they had to bring him back, you know? And then that opens things up where if you're not necessarily enamored with the quarterback options in this draft, you could give up, like, the number 10 pick to get McCarthy, you know, 1 year into his rookie deal. Obviously, you want to check out his health and everything, but that probably is a better use of a 10 pick than anybody that's not the top two quarterbacks in this draft class. But now, if you're Minnesota, it's I can't tell if it's a tougher decision or an easier decision, and that he went from being a Pro Bowl quarterback to being kind of what we thought Sam Darnold has been. The problem is there's just not a lot of good quarterbacks. There's not, save literally Kirk Cousins, there's not a ton of Kirk Cousins-level free agents that are just straight-up free agents in this class. I mean, it could be Russell Wilson. There's really not a lot. You ask yourself, what if you don't have a quarterback right now and you're not picking in the top five where you feel like you could get one of those top two that are kind of perceived right now, what's plan B? What's behind door number two? So I still think there could be a market for Sam Darnold, maybe in that, not at like a Cousins or a Derek Carr kind of money level, but maybe Mayfield-ish. I mean, that 3 years, $100 million, Unfortunately, yep. That's what the economy is. It's demand-driven right now, and there's not a lot of supply to pick from.
It is a Greg Allman, guys, from Fox Sports. He's covered the Bucs in the division, knows the NFL, joins here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One last note on last night. We were just talking last segment. I was blown away by the sense of no urgency from the Vikings. You know, down three right. scores. Yeah. You know, you don't get the two-point conversion. Now you've really got to press it. They're running the ball. O'Connell, I mean, as much as we're going to give heat to Darnold, I didn't think O'Connell really established anything solid last night either.
No, and again, to kind of give something away here, in voting, I'm a voter for the AP National Awards, but, I mean, I've been a Kevin O'Connell for Coach of the Year guy, and there's a lot of good candidates this year. You could just go Dan Campbell, even though they had some high expectations. You could go Dan Quinn in Washington. But my first place vote was for Kevin O'Connell, and it's technically a regular season award, but that doesn't look like a smart vote today. You know, to think that they were – you know, a win away from being the top seed, having a first-round bye in the playoffs, and now they're awkwardly out after getting destroyed on a neutral site as a 14-win team in the first round of the playoffs. So, yeah, it surprised me. But, again, it's one of those where, you know, what they did exceeded expectations in the regular season and then certainly disappointed to be done as quickly as they were.
All right, Greg Allman, best fits for Jacksonville, the Bears, and the Jets.
Yeah, you know, I feel like right now, I still feel like Chicago looks like maybe the best opportunity to have a young quarterback in Caleb Williams that has some cap flexibility. I don't think it's necessarily a great division to jump into, competitive-wise.
Yeah.
But I feel like they should be. I wouldn't want to, you know, you could legit be a good team and go 1-5. I mean, the Packers went 1-5 in that division this year. So I still feel like they're near the top of the list. So you have the dominoes they have to fall. Who's going to get Ben Johnson? Who's going to get, now that Vrabel's gone, who's going to get Aaron Glenn? So I feel like Chicago should be near the top of that list. Is that McCarthy? Is that Ben Johnson? I think they, you know, not always willing to write the biggest check for a coach, but it should be near the top of the list. So I still think of Chicago as kind of, not that it's a draft, but picking first or second of the best available candidates. Jacksonville, not so much so. I can't tell whether you have to inherit their GM or whether the right candidate could maybe get to bring in his own guy there. And I think that really could change what they're able to get. You have to definitely buy into Trevor Lawrence and be willing to take on the financial commitment they've made to him. You're going to win or lose with him, and he could very well outlast you if you don't do well there. But I think an offensive-minded coach there, Todd Monken's a guy who's done so well in Baltimore, got his start in the NFL as a Jags receivers coach. He would make a lot of sense there. Who's the third you asked about? You said Chicago, Jacksonville, and one other one.
Jets.
Oh, yeah, Jets is more of a circus. I don't know what that'll be.
Got that right.
Yeah, that's another one where not quite a Cowboys-level ownership interference. Are you taking on Aaron Rodgers where he is right now? Are you starting anew? That takes a patient coach. And I don't know. Honestly, that's harder because the Jets have interviewed like 20 guys already. Mike Locksley is interviewing there. Joe Witt just interviewed there. They're casting a wide net, and sometimes that's being thorough, and sometimes that's not knowing what direction you want to go in. I can't tell what it is there.
Yeah, what's that? What they do with the trawlers? Is that the dragnet fishing? That's kind of, man, you come up with like some hubcaps and an old like horseshoe crab with that. Hey, Greg Allman, one thing, you know, when you mentioned the Bears, I saw yesterday they were talking about Brian Flores. And, like, we love what he does defensively, and certainly he's earned that second chance to be a head coach. But do you really think that's a good fit if the things that Tua Tagovailoa said about how we treated him, and I'm not going to buy the narrative that Caleb Williams is soft, but maybe not the coach you need, and shouldn't it be an offensive-minded guy like
that's
McCarthy anyway? To get that guy fixed.
Right, and I think, yeah, I mean, I think when so much of the optimism and excitement of your team is built around a young quarterback like Caleb Williams, as it should be, I think you have to make a hire built around that. So much, to me, of NFL success is having quarterback and coach on the same page. So if you got a defensive coach, you would almost have to have an A-list offensive coordinator paired with him. It's like you'll hear about, you know, you'll hear about Ben Johnson maybe having this defensive coordinator tied to him, that kind of thing. But it's hard on the opposite side. Yeah, if you've got a defensive coach, you definitely have somebody either with a history of working with, tolerating, understanding, cultivating young quarterbacks, or you have to shield him and have a really good coordinator who can do that for you. I would be surprised with their recent hires. I'd be surprised if it's not an offensive-minded coach, for sure.
Hey, Greg, we've got 10 seconds. Explain to our audience, no one's going to trade for Kirk Cousins?
No, I think they could. I think if the Falcons are willing to eat some of that salary. I mean, right now, the Falcons are on the hook for $27 million, you know? So I think if between now and March 10th or whatever that day is, you can find somebody and you say, look, we're going to eat $15 million of this.
Right.
Again, we talked about how exciting Sam Darnold is as an option. Kirk Cousins obviously didn't finish the way he wanted to in Atlanta, but I think he's better than a lot of other options. If you're a team that doesn't have a quarterback, if you're Las Vegas, Tennessee, some of these teams that just don't have an answer right now and might not have in the draft, I think he's definitely an option. And if the Falcons can take some of the financial aspect away, you can make it a one-year rental almost. And I think they could get somebody to offset that and help them out.
All right, Greg, great stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you soon as we get deeper into playoffs. Greg Allman for Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter as well. We'll come back. Turtle, as we learned earlier, was abused by a redheaded babysitter. Will that affect his Yeah Man, No Man segment?
Starved
as we're live at State Farm. This hour of the show brought to you guys by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Rob Tribble with Chris coming up next. It is Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble's in for Carl today. He'll be back tomorrow, guys, and tomorrow a very special edition of Dukes and Bell. We're going to be hitting the road, guys. We're going to be going over to Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram, Georgia.
Very special. Like a very special episode of Blossom.
Very special edition of Dukes and Bell. Yeah, man, we're going to be over there. So if you're a Hiramite or a Paul Dinger. By the way, my dad, when we used to road trip as kids, you know, going to, you know, whether it was, you know, Daytona 500, my dad would drive to Indy. We'd go to some county with a strange name, and it's like, Bertold? I guess you're a Bertolder if you live in that. So my old man always put an ER on it. So that's what them silly things that I do. But anyway, Hiramites and Paul Dingers, yes, we're going to be over there. Looking forward to you at Buffalo's Cafe, 2 to 7. And I know, Chris, you've never been in Paulding County, have you? Special time in a boy's life.
I've heard great things, Mike.
Yes, apparently Rob Tribble, we learned earlier, and I think you embarrassed Greg Allman, our guest, and you apparently...
he was embarrassed by that. Give me a break.
You had a very special time yourself when pitching for West Georgia?
Yeah, I did not lose my virginity to my freshman year of college.
You didn't get laid in high school?
I did everything but.
Okay, no, I'm just a fan of your experience.
I was a little shy, but I came into my own and caught, literally and physically.
Or in back at the ranch.
Easy, Tiger.
Yeah, man. You asked a question. I'm just being open.
Hey, man, it is bash night. And yes, Rob was bashing it back. Every Monday and Wednesday, all the wings you can eat from 5 to 8. Man, that's a great deal. Join us, guys. Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram.
That sounds awesome.
Bash night. I said yesterday, Carl and I, you're going to lose some money on us, baby. So if you're up in that neck of the woods, catch Dukes and Bell. And Chris, who's ready now with Yeah Man, No Man, man. As my man Carl would say, Turtle, time for Yeah Man, No Man. What you got?
Yes, sir. Before I get into some stories, two quick things. One, I guess I'm kind of proud it took till 3:42 for Rob to get dumped. I guess that's a decent mark on the day. I would say it's about average, usually, you know, before he gets dumped. And second of all, when I think of a very special episode, I don't know about you guys. For me, it's not Blossom. It's the Different Strokes episode where they're in the bike shop with the... guy who liked children a little too much.
Oh, yeah.
That's what scary. When I think of a very special
was that
episode,
Gordon Jump?
Yes.
That played that?
Yes.
Oh, the Art Carlson of KRP in Cincinnati? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Creepy.
He played a photographer.
Oh, dang.
In a very special episode.
It wasn't shows. Blossom when she got a zit on her nose for picture day?
Yeah. No, traumatic. I mean, back in the old days with the after school special. You know, and that's, you know, we're talking about our childhood, and that would be like the, you know, the show about, like, you know, for us, that's why it's like somebody had a joint in a car, so I'm like, stop the car, I gotta get out. Because my dad was a big money homicide detective. You see him on TV, there was a big case in New York. Last thing I know, I always felt like, one night I walked like 8 miles back from the beach I never forget that because somebody had a joint. Like, I look back, you know, it's like, what a nitwit. But anyway, you kids, you stay away from that stuff. And now Chris with you, man. No, man.
One foot.
The after-school special, somebody did weed. Next thing you know, he's hanging off like a, you know, a telephone pole. And because it was a gateway drug, Rob, and he took too much stuff.
Well, if that was the case, trust, I would not be here.
One final little piece of useless information. That's how Vince Vaughn got his acting career started.
No way.
He started an after-school special in the 80s.
No
kidding. Speaking of somebody who could get their acting career started, she's back, folks, and with a vengeance. I'm talking about the viral sensation that Brent Musburger professed his ever-loving sensational.
Wow, I got to tell you guys, you want to get a girl, you're going to be a quarterback in Alabama. Hey, look at that mom over there. Oh, I'll tell you. Oh.
Speaking of what Rob may or may not have been doing earlier in the segment.
You got to pull the original Musburger at some point.
You quarterbacks get all the women, I'm telling you. Catherine Webb was her name.
Beautiful young lady.
Gorgeous. Won awards for modeling and for being I think she was Miss Alabama. She's now 35, still married to AJ McCarron, mom of three. And she says that after a hiatus from the social media world, where she has nearly 300,000 followers, it's time for a comeback. And she will be doing modeling. She said Sports Illustrated has reached out to do another cover.
She's still with
AJ McCarron.
Yeah, AJ McCarron, right.
Yeah.
Remember, he was with the St. Louis Battlehawks last year. He made $8 million in his NFL career, but she's still having to work, I guess.
Yeah. And if she did 3 days of certain sites like OnlyFans, she'd make she'd make triple that. I'll tell you that right now.
And for guys of a certain age, the Musburger, that was the Notre Dame Alabama national championship. One of the last of the BCS, like next to last of the BCS.
Yep.
And Notre Dame, obviously, they always did. That's what's kind of given us the Notre Dame bias against Marcus Freeman's teams. Although Marcus Freeman's teams are actually physical and do the job and
right,
clutch,
right?
Unlike Brian Kelly's. But yeah, that was the year that we joked around that Alabama won in every facet: offense, defense, and real life girlfriends. Because Manti Te'o's didn't exist. Here's Musburger getting all, old guy. He's a hot chick. Take a listen.
Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn. I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow. A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard with pop.
And that was like an international incident, too.
Right. And I was on the cusp of Me Too, so Brent might have gotten canceled a few years later. Again, it's the things people get upset about. It's a good-looking woman he's having fun, and people turn it into literally the federal case.
Yeah.
Of course. That's what
we're entertained. For guys who watch football, it's most of us, 90% of us, we left our ass off at that.
It was in 2013 was the actual date. Right. So, you're right. Just about the time that things on the internet, you started having to mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah, man. With Chris, it continues.
Yes. He is now here, and he says, you better ship up or you better ship out. Mike Vrabel.
Shape up or ship out.
Shape up or ship out. Ship up or ship out.
I like the way you said it. Yeah. We should ship up.
Just say it with confidence.
Shape up or ship up or shape out. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Just say it with confidence. He said in his introductory press conference yesterday, quote, "We are removing entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day." And that was interpreted, gentlemen, to be a slight at one-year-and-done coach Gerard Mayo, because they said he was too much of a player's coach. Yeah, man, no man. You like this installation of a hard-nosed attitude in New England from Vrabel?
Well, what they were doing last year certainly didn't work. But you can also say there's a lot to be said for that roster as well. So, sure. Vrabel's going to Vrabel. So, we want Vrabel to Vrabel.
I mean, I just think it comes down to something that you were saying earlier, Rob. They got to get better players, man. Their roster is a little bit devoid of talent.
I mean, the defense, one thing I would say, it's funny you mentioned Belichick. There was an article in The Athletic yesterday, which didn't really tell you anything you didn't already know, other than Belichick had burned some bridges with some people in the league, and others just, weren't interested in here in Atlanta, whether it was Bob Kraft getting on the horn with Arthur or all of, Arthur's minions going, you can't hire him, he'd fire us. Either way, there was really only one shot for him with Belichick. Really didn't learn much in the article, but Belichick did still put together a pretty good defense. That's one thing he did draft that's still basically there. The framework of that defense is still in place in New England.
Well, I will say this, guys. Second place in that division is completely up for grabs.
Right.
because the Jets stink.
I don't believe in the Dolphins. I don't believe in that coach. I just don't believe in that organization. They spent all their money in the offensive side. You know, same thing which is happening with the Bengals has happened to the Dolphins. They lost a lot of guys.
Vikings too, arguably, you could say.
Right.
Tyreek Hill wants out, apparently, even though Drew Rosenhaus says no. He's fully committed to the Dolphins, even though he literally said, "I'm out of here," the day of their final game.
Coach Mike McDaniel, I don't get that. You know, and by the way, we just real quick, we talked with Greg Allman while we're talking head coaches. We mentioned, you know, Tua Tagovailoa said when he was a rookie that basically Brian Flores came in, it was tough love, and it was more of a kick in the butt than a pat on the back.
Right.
And as you guys know, if you've ever coached youth sports, some kids you need the pick me up, other kids you got to get on. But in this case, I don't think Brian Flores, unless he changes his stripes, is necessarily a guy that Caleb Williams is going to need. I don't think he reacts well to that.
It's the same vibe of dude between two, and it is. You have to handle them with kid gloves a little bit or be more positive.
It only took till the national championship week for something that Mike Bell's been pounding the table for about a month now to catch some national steam, and that is ESPN's Jesse Palmer calls for the change to the college football playoff seeding format. Quote, "I think conference champions should get in, but I don't think that they should be given the automatic bye."
You see it in the basketball tournament. Just because you win your conference tournament, you can still be an 11 seed, right?
Right.
I've always agreed with that. Yeah.
I'm with you. I know that the idea that Boise State should be come on, that's just stop it. I mean, you got a chance to go to Thanksgiving, but you're sitting at the freaking kids' table, okay? None of that nonsense. It just didn't make a lot of sense. Now, if you are a team that gets a bye, you got to take advantage of it. Georgia, Oregon, we all know. You know, we saw how sluggish Texas was in the first half.
All the teams with byes are very sluggish,
right? But
or lost, and they all lost.
They all lost.
They won't go back. Now the toothpaste is out of the tube. We got 12. Seven is you can replicate what you do with the NFC and the AFC. Number one team gets the bye. Everybody else plays 2 through 7. It's not that complicated. That's how I do it. But they won't.
No. Well, then the thing is, let me ask you guys this: next year, we know they're going to stick with 12 because it's in the contract. Do they dare go to 16?
Yeah, they have to. Because how many – Rob, tell me, did you watch less bowl games than ever this year?
I did.
The bowls are so marginalized. Now, look, I get it. When you're playing, they play like two games in Orlando, the Citrus Bowl, the Pop-Tart Bowl. Neither one was sold out. Mm. You know, and you've got – and decent teams. Miami's in a bowl. And granted, their fans are the worst, and they're a bunch of phonies, and they don't show up for anything. But still, I mean, they couldn't get in a car and drive 2.5 hours up the turnpike.
Right.
But, I mean, there's just nothing happening. If you're not in this playoff, the games are meaningless. They've already been exhibitions, but now even more so.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think eventually this thing – I don't know. Do we believe the John Fricke model of the super conference? Let me put it to you guys this way, and I'll gladly get your opinion on this. The closer we get to it, the less realistic I feel like it's feeling.
I don't care.
Are we really going to merge the SEC and the Big Ten?
I think everything – you know what? If we had told you a few years ago that Texas and Oklahoma would be in the SEC and we'd have these – that USC and that Oregon would all be in the Big Ten, nothing's impossible. There is the ultimate power play because the Big Ten – you know, let's be honest, the two commissioners that run these are the guys, the power brokers. I think you need to get to this position anyway, Rob. 75 teams, and you can figure out how you want to draw the line. Does Vandy get in? Does Wake Forest get in? I mean, if you – I know that teams – always seem to be rising and falling, but the top 35 kind of stays what it is, right?
Nothing would surprise me. Look at baseball. I never thought in a million years they'd increase the size of the base and have a pitch clock. NBA, they'd have a early season tournament,
right?
You know, nothing would surprise me
as long as the money's there. Like I just, and this sometimes Georgia fans push back at me, and not as much Tech fans. They're all usually complaining about how much we talk about Georgia fans. But usually the argument is for me, if I'm a booster, I am a booster for Florida State, I would much rather see Division I competition, albeit in the Big 12, than see some divisional, some direct. Now, granted, Florida State can't beat some of those directional schools right now. But the point is, I would think if you're a Georgia fan paying $4,000 or whatever it is to be in those great seats, you'd want to see better competition.
And get rid of the neutral site games, too. Games should be on campus.
The problem now is, though, because the college football – now, this is don't be prisoner of the moment, but since the college football playoff committee devalued strength of schedule for so much of their polls, it's almost like, why am I playing better teams if I'm the SEC?
Well, Rob,
they de-incentivize it,
let me push back real quick. How far do you take that, though? You're going to get rid of the cocktail party?
I would.
Wow.
Don't care.
Talk about
it. And I was born and raised here. I've been down there. So what? It should be on campus. It'd be fun to go to Gainesville. It'd be fun to have that game in Athens. Well, it'd be a lot more fun.
You're going
to
get
Jacksonville's a crap hole.
Well, you know, back in the day when you had the landing and everyone would go just down the street.
It's run its course.
It has. But you're going to get 2 years of campus to campus and, you know, home and home.
I know. It should be that way.
It's not. It's Mercedes-Benz and it's Raymond James. That's what it is, right. which is fun.
Well, why don't they spend all the money on their stadiums if they don't use them? That's my, you know.
No, I mean, I've always enjoyed.
Georgia just has new $75 million scoreboard. Well, you
don't
use it.
But when Georgia's winning, the only time I hear people complain is when Georgia's losing about the cocktail party. When they're stomping Florida's guts out, no Georgia fan complains.
Well, the thing is, to Mike's point, when you get to bring out the Kirby copter and you have all the recruits on the side.
But Kirby, they spent $60 million in that end zone. They want to have families in there with fans, to your point. And that's why Kirby is against it.
It's just the buzz and the vibe is a lot cooler when those games are up. Big games on campus are so much fun.
Right. But I think the cocktail party is it's like going to the Cotton Bowl for Oklahoma and Dallas. That's a unique thing, too. I hate to see those traditions die.
Well, you have and another good point by Mike, because you have the backdrop of the fair and you can make a whole weekend out of it. Right. You bring the family, you do the whole thing. And I just think those traditions, for all the traditions we're losing in college football,
that's
right
a
now,
good point. But
you know, something has to stay, right? I mean, you got to keep some tradition alive. Right. All right, with that said, Big O, you can hit mom music.
It is Dukes and Bell with our man, Rob Tribble. He's in for Carl Dukes. We got plenty more to dive into. We're going to talk to one of our good friends, John McClain, and he will bring his detonators to talk about the NFL and who's getting hired in this coaching carousel, what's going to happen in the next round of the playoffs. Also, though, we will get into some more dog conversation. I started talking today about some Georgia assistant coaches, and man, some dog fans got triggered. We'll get into that next live.
Booby, I'm your white knight.
Hans, shut up. Tell him you don't. Ellis, tell him you don't know me. We'll come back live from State Farm getting ready for Hawks and Suns.